Where you been?
Where the bloody hell have you been?
Where you been? Where you been?
Where the hell have you been?
Where have you been?
Where the hell have you been?
Where the hell have you been?
Where the hell have you been?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Take it easy there, Vince McMahon. You got enough problems. Where have I been? I've been where I've been at. But I'm back. This is Ego and Vice, episode 89, mid-season premiere.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
What's going on? This is Mike. This is Ego and Vice, episode 89. This is the mid-season premiere. How's everyone doing? I took a couple of months off just because I was a little burnt. And plus, I'm a busy guy. I got lots on the go. Lots to do. People to see. Places to be. As the old saying goes. No, I took some time off just to enjoy the summer. And get a few things done, get a few things accomplished, because, you know, you get really busy and you put a lot on your plate, and before you know it, you don't have time to get to everything. So sometimes you got to eliminate a couple of things just for a little while, put some stuff on hiatus, just to get other things done. It's like Homer Simpson, every time he thinks of something, he forgets something else. Same concept in a backwards kind of way. I got COVID again. That's cool. Wasn't that bad. Took some time off work, like I'm supposed to. Second time, I had it in December. And then I got it again. I think I got it at the DOA show. I went to the DOA show at the Dom downtown. And it was jammed. That was like my first show too, my first punk show or any show going back after the pandemic, and we were crammed in there and there was not a mask to be found. Not a, like a mask would really work in that environment unless you had like a gas mask on. Marty McFly's radiation suit. Radiation suit? Of course, from all the fallout from the nuclear wars. Wasn't that bad. Two-time COVID, I'm going for three. I'm going for the trifecta, because as a good Canadian, we always strive for the hat trick. Just be careful out there, people. I've been working quite a bit. My new job is awesome. Well, it's kind of a new job. I've explained this before, but, you know, it's been a while. I've been in the same industry for 13 years, and I recently got a promotion. Well, I call it a promotion, especially based off being there for the last, like, almost 4 months now, 5 months. I don't even know how long it's been, but what an upgrade. I'm telling you, yeah, you don't even know. It's awesome people, awesome structure, and very comforting to know that I have that security, and then I actually probably can retire, and probably at an earlier age. So I got pretty lucky there. But I put the work in, you know. I earned it, for sure. And it's pretty rad. So, yeah. Other than that, I've been writing the new Goat record. I'm about six songs in. A couple of shells there. But about 6 songs in. I'm probably going to go for 10, maybe 10 tunes, and then head up to Skylark Park with Jordan Zadorozny in Pembroke. A little plug there for his studio. And I'm going to get that recorded, and then I'm going to start releasing it, maybe a couple songs at a time type of thing. But maybe I'll look into some vinyl too. I think that would be good, some vinyl. I've never done that before. I always wanted to release Goat, just take, because, I don't know, I think there was like 6 releases. I always wanted to take all the best songs and put them on vinyl, just like, and it was like the best of, and I was going to call it the Goatest Hits, because I'm super clever and everything's got to be goat related, apparently, in my life. But, yeah, so I'm going to get some friends to come up there and play the parts. A drummer and a bass player and a couple guitar players. And I actually talked to Sarah, who's in the band Wet for Days, who is a guest on the podcast today, who was a member of Goat for a bunch of years and is still part of the Goat family, as small as it's gotten, but she's still a member of the Goat family. And yeah, I think she's going to come up and contribute to that new recording, which is very exciting. Keeping it real, folks. Keeping it real. Riptides have so much amazing shit on the go. I'm not going to get into any of it because it's not time or place. But just know that the next 48 months... is that broad enough? The next 48 months are going to be fucking great for the Riptides. And all the guys are doing really well. And they all say hi, I'm sure. Hi. Yeah, that's it. Oh, one big one before we get to the rest of the show is in 1 week, it'll be 8 months that I haven't, drank no alcohol at all. No cigarettes, no nothing. Well, I haven't smoked for whatever. So I basically have adopted the straight edge lifestyle by accident, but I've never felt better. Honestly, I didn't realize how shitty I did feel. And how much of an effect, a negative, shitty effect that alcohol was having on my life. Until I stopped. And 8 months later, I've dropped like 25 pounds. And that's with hard work, mind you, because I run 51 kilometers a week. That's what I do. That's what I do now. I get up in the morning and I go for a run. I love it. It's my salvation. It's my freedom. It's my peace of mind. Yeah, so 8 months, fuck, man. I didn't even realize how shitty and negatively alcohol was, like, affecting my life. Like, just my moods, my attitude, just the way I felt, my thought patterns, you know. Decisions I made. Everything revolved around just the toxin in my brain and in my body. I was, like, poisoned. Walking around poisoned, trying to, like, be a functioning part of society. But it's crazy. It's, like, my body now has never been, like, stronger. And my mind has never been healthier. Like, my mental health is tremendous. Like, I can't even explain how... Like, I have genuine, natural happiness, which is something I probably hadn't felt for 25 years. Remember when you were a kid and you just used to get excited about fucking shit and you'd get all like, ooh, like that? Yeah, I fucking feel that. It's like I was in this weird, numb fucking cocoon for so long. Yeah, it's crazy, man. So yeah, there's that, man. I recommend it. I'd never preach it because that ain't my place. But I highly recommend it. And you can't really explain to anybody. You can't really explain it. It's like a vicious loop, right? Like, you think you're drinking to escape the shitty stuff in your life, but really, the drinking is causing all the shitty stuff. And it's like this really vicious, vicious loop, unhealthy loop that will fucking kill you. That's the kicker, right? Anyway, other than this podcast, I'm pretty private. Like, I didn't post things on Facebook or on social media. Actually, the older I've gotten, it's just over time, it's just the less I actually use social media. I use like Facebook and Instagram and stuff just to promote the podcast and the bands and stuff. I can't post personal stuff on it because I don't know. Just seems so, hey, you know, that's not who I am. I like the podcast because at least I could voice what I'm trying to say, as opposed to hoping that someone doesn't misinterpret or misunderstand, you know, a text or a social media posting or something like that. And I couldn't be fucking bothered with likes and all that shit or comments. I couldn't be fucking bothered. How people do it, that's their prerogative. That's up to them. I don't judge. I just don't fucking get it. How you post like personal shit. I guess you get used to it. You must get like numb to it. I don't know. Whatever. If I have something personal to talk to like a close friend about or to somebody about, I pick up a phone. That's what I do. I'm kind of old school that way. You know? This whole quitting drinking thing, you know what I mean? I didn't need to be held accountable by the Facebook world. I needed to hold myself accountable. And, you know, I have people to thank. I didn't do it alone, but I'm not going to do it here. They know who they are, you know? I also have people that I really want to fucking tell them to get fucked. Go fuck yourselves. Cowards. But they know who they are too. And that's it. That's all I gotta say. Anyway, thank you for that. That was my little rant. Thanks for listening. On with the show. I have awesome people on the podcast today. Local band Wet for Days, Sarah, Steph, and Deirdre came in, well, via Zoom, via satellite. And we had a great conversation about the band, what they're doing, where they're going, where they've been. Big show coming up, their premiere show as a band after COVID. Band's been together for 3 years. This is their first show coming up, end of August. The world truly did screech to a grinding halt, but it's moving again. So I'm going to play a song, and then I'll come back with my conversation with Wet for Days. This is Ego and Vice, the mid-season premiere, episode 89.
LA Girl, take one.
Hey, welcome back. This is Ego and Vice. This is episode 89. As I said on the intro, I have a new band, hot new band, on Ego and Vice this week. And, well, new band, seasoned veterans. And they're called Wet for Days. We have Steph, Deirdre, and Sarah in the South Hood studio, the magical South Hood studio, which is actually a Zoom meeting. So they're on my phone, but they're here. Hey guys, what's going on?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. So, yeah, the magic of Zoom these days is the entire band can be in one place with me. And Sarah's in the West Coast right now.
That's right. I'm in British Columbia.
Yeah.
So
you're
glad to be there with all of you.
You're avoiding all the humidity in Ottawa as we all die here.
I heard.
Yeah. But it's raining today, but enough about the weather. So speaking of the weather, it has been quite wet. It literally has been wet for days. Hey, wasn't that the real meaning of your name? It was actually a weather-based thing, but people take it the wrong way. Explain that.
Yeah, it was. Well, that's how we originally came up with the name. Was just, I was just talking to a friend and said, it's been raining. We have more rain coming tomorrow. It's been so wet for days. And then it just stuck because we couldn't think of a band name forever. And then I just suggested it to the girls, and I thought I think we all just kind of fell for it. And so it originally was weather based.
It's immediately suggestive.
But that's probably not the first thing people's minds go to when they hear the name, right? Have you gotten a lot of interesting questions or people asking, just commenting on the name itself, wondering?
It's more the facial expression that is fun. It's like I see. Mm. Oh, I like that. Might be a little shocked. Don't know if I should look you in the eye because I figured it out.
Mm-hmm. We get people ask us to repeat it. Like, they don't think that's actually what we said. You know what I mean? They're like, what?
Definitely lots of awkward silence and just like, oh. Mm-hmm. Or like, I love it. That's awesome. I've gotten both, So it depends.
Right. Well, one of the hardest things to do is to name a band. So you guys came up with a good one, which not only makes people think or causes some sort of reaction.
Yeah, because reactions are memorable, right?
Yeah.
So if you have that kind of instant reaction, that person will tend to remember the name.
Right. Well, I think it's a good one because it's you don't really forget it easily, and it kind of catches your attention quickly, and you can interpret it how you want to interpret it. But I was reading a post that you guys wrote as a band, I think, about it, and you were saying how the name relates to, a lot of people relate it to like a sexual nature. And in the post, it was going on how you like that because you want to kind of make a statement. Not, I don't know, statement, that might not be the best word, but you want to just be clear that it's okay to have conversations openly and normalize, talk about sex and, I guess, women. I'm probably talking myself into a corner here, but could you explain kind of what that meant?
Yeah, I can, unless someone else wants to take over.
You go ahead.
Yeah, I think it was, what you said, really, to normalize those conversations and just, in a sex positive way. And just to kind of so that women can feel empowered to be able to talk about that. Mm-hmm. In an avenue that's empowering. That's kind of really it's coming from. It's supposed to be coming from an empowering angle. I'm a very, I'm sex positive in the way that I think it's good to be able to have those open conversations about it and not hide away from having those conversations either, right?
We are so often sexualized as women from others, from kind of everyone else. So it is kind of empowering to own our own sexuality. It's it's nice to have that reaction support and know that we're kind of using our platform. It's nice to artists to kind of come out with a bang, and like you were saying with the name, it's memorable. So it's really nice to have that starting off right away, being able to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Just in the name.
Well, it definitely is a conversation piece. Steph, did you have anything to think about that? Anything to say about that one?
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking, like, since even being in this band, I found, like, it's just opened up my eyes to certain topics that, like, I could never talk about with even other women in my life, that whether, like, even, like, family or just close people who I wouldn't feel necessarily comfortable bringing up certain things, which shouldn't necessarily be that way. Like, we should be talking openly about so many just, yeah, I don't know, women's health even is a big one, that a lot of women don't even know how their bodies work, really, because it wasn't part of like education for so long. So just kind of little things like that, that you don't think of, but are so important for us to be talking about as, you know, a community, a society, just feeling comfortable to that our kids can bring up questions to us, and we're not going to look down on them or shame them. Like, they can feel comfortable to just, you know, come to us with questions that would normally be a little bit, you know, hard to talk about, and still are, but if we just kind of normalize it, it won't be so much.
I think that's awesome. The reason I asked that about the band name is because I'm sure some people look at it and be like, oh, Wet for Days, three girls in a band, and they'd go one way, but you guys will stand up and say, well, yeah, you can go that way if you want, because we're cool with that too. And I think it's best to like break it down, the name, before we even start talking about the band, just so we know where you guys are coming from, where you stand. And I think it's rad. So let's talk about music. Let's talk about the band. Let's talk about Wet for Days. Now, Deirdre and Sarah, I know you two used to play in Rah Rah Riot. Rah Rah Riot was an amazing local punk band back in the day. Steph, I'm super looking forward to hearing more about your musical history and getting to know you better. But let's all just start at the beginning. How did the band get together?
Yeah, so you're right. So me and Deirdre used to play in Rah Rah Riot. So I was on guitar and Deirdre played drums. So we've been playing music for 10 years now together, and I kind of like just before COVID hit, I've been, you know, after I was playing in Goat with you for a few years, and then that kind of that ended. Like, after I had a child, Nicola, it got really difficult to kind of coordinate that, like being a new mom, it was really difficult to kind of find my like place back in the music scene, like being a mom. It took some time, but then when I was ready to kind of restart a band, I reached out to Deirdre and I said, you know, I want to start a band. I kind of want to do another, you know, all female band. She was in, and I made a post on a Facebook group in Ottawa, like an Ottawa moms Facebook group, saying that we are looking for another mom.
Amazing.
I thought it would be cool to have all moms in the band because we would all get each other. And yeah, a few people had replied to that, and Steph was one of them. And she ended up, I invited her to a show that Deirdre was playing in her other band, Cultural Treason. So Steph happened to be going to that show to see another band anyways. So we met up, all three of us, at that show, and like Steph was just instantly like super cool and super chill, and I was like, yes, she would be awesome to be with.
I feel like we were instantly friends. Like, it was just like, yeah, this is awesome. And I was blown away by Deirdre like playing with Cultural Truths, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's amazing. Like, she had so much energy on stage, and like, yeah, it was like, yeah, it was good. I feel like it was meant to be.
And that's awesome. I didn't know that you guys didn't know each other, so amazing.
Yeah, it was
chalk one up for the Facebook Moms Punk Rock message board, I guess, eh?
And my friend Allison McKinley, I'm gonna do a shout out, because she tagged me, and I still thank her for that, because she's the one that kind of tagged me in that post. I don't even think I was a part of that group, but somehow I saw it, and then anyways.
Yeah, I wasn't a punk rock moms group by any means. It was like just an Ottawa moms thing. There was probably like 20,000 people in it, so you know, out of the fact that we managed to get staff out of this thousands of people,
yeah,
it's kind of fate. And it's true. Like, we all did meet, and it just felt very like it instantly worked. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, this is, it feels right. So
yeah, sometimes you got to trust the universe because it just kind of falls into place. Have you played around town in other stuff, Steph? What's your background music wise?
Yeah, I started playing bass at a really young age. Like at 16, I bought my own bass with my own money, but I never really played in bands because just like super, just not, I guess, like committed for a long time, and kind of life happens. I had kids really young, and the past like 5 years or so, I kind of have been dedicating myself to playing more and kind of random bands here and there. Like I did some cover stuff with some friends for a while, went to a lot of open mics, and then I joined a metal band for a few years. And yeah, and I have another band too that is on the go right now. That's like a cover band, but we kind of started this one about 3 years ago, and kind of earlier this year, I was like, you know, I really want to focus on this band the most. Like I had, you know, good feelings about it, and yeah, so just going with it and putting as much energy as I can into it.
That's rad. Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. I'm a big fan of three pieces too. So I just find it's just kind of the nitty gritty, right? You just get down to it. Mm-hmm. Guitar, bass, and drums. So I guess you guys have. Pardon?
Sorry, I don't mean to jump over you, but I love the feeling of a three piece band as well. Like it's just like very basic. It's very like basic, right? Like, and it just kind of keeps things simple without making it too complicated. Mm. But being a three piece also has its own unique musical challenges as well, right? Like you do have to try and get this full sound because each piece has to kind of bring it a little bit more life to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have all these sounds coming in, so.
Yeah, just be riffier and a lot of harmonies. I was a three-piece for 20 years, so. That's what we did anyway. Instead, I just played busier riffs and we did lots of harmonies, and it just seemed to fill out the empty spaces. And I jumped around like an asshole, so that helps too.
Goat was so fun. Like, I remember before I joined that band, your band was one of my favorite bands in the Ottawa scene, and I just remember you all being so fun, and just it was great. And you were a three-piece band too, so
yeah. Well, it's three-piece is easier to maintain too, personality wise. You start adding a ton of members, and then there's just use the term, I guess, there's just more mouths to feed, and it's true. It's totally true. And then you get to the point, if you find the right three people too, where you all click and get along, like personality wise, that's half the battle, right? It doesn't matter if you're the best bass player, the best drummer, or the best whatever, you know, if you're a dickhead, it's not going to work out, or it's going to be a struggle, right?
At least when we are dickheads, we're friends. So we figure it out.
Well, as long as you're just a temporary dickhead and you're not an actual rooted dickhead, but I get it, man. And if you find the three people, that was like Goat though, I think Sarah too was just like the personalities were very, very well meshed together, and you know, it's a recipe for a lot of good times and a lot of good songs, and it'll bleed over into your music too if you guys actually like each other. Yes. It'll show in the art, and I think that's great. So speaking of songs and jamming, do you guys jam quite often, once a week or whenever you get free time? I guess you're all pretty busy.
Lately, it's been good. In the last 2 years, it's hard to believe we've known each other for so long, because just pandemic life slowed us down so much. And whenever we could find time, we were there. Whenever we weren't busy or locked down or sick, or you know, we have, you know, daycares and kids in school and just so many variables. So lately we've been doing pretty good for getting together and working around my schedule, because I have the youngest of the children. So it's a little harder for me to get out at those jam times. So I really appreciate everybody kind of working around me.
Deirdre's a trooper. So she's still nursing a child, and she'll, you know, be nursing and then run to jam and just rock out. But Yeah, I think what one of the key points of like starting this band was, and what I liked a lot about being in a band with other moms is that we understand that there is a life outside of the band as well. You know, like the band is very important and we will make jams as much as we can, but also like we're not going to be pissed off at each other if we miss a jam because of family stuff, because we all have kids and we know that life can get really overwhelming and stuff. So just like a very chill vibe, but also like we prioritize it, but then we all understand each other, where we're coming from in our personal lives. So I know other bands you can be in, it can be very like very strict, you know, you got to make jams, like, but that kind of sometimes takes the fun away from it if it's super strict. But I think we managed to find a good balance between, you know, being in a band and getting shit done, but also just like having fun and just knowing that life happens.
Yeah, I think you get to a stage, especially if like I don't know, you get to a stage where when you're younger, it's like let's just party and get drunk and play music and jam like 8 times a week, and but you get older and you just have different responsibilities. Like for me, I'm still that guy because I don't have kids and I'm single and I've got nothing better to do. But I'm in a band, another band with guys, and they're all dads and their families always come first, and I'm 100% absolutely no problem. But I see like the scheduling issues where I've never had that before. But if you guys have all that life outside of the band, that's awesome, and you make it work and they make it work and everyone can make it work. I'm the only one who's sitting here bored all the time, you know what I mean? But that's awesome. That's awesome.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
A luxury as parents we do not have.
Yeah. Well,
mom,
it
gets to be bored.
Yeah, but too much of anything, right? That's what they say. Even me, I get bored too. So that's good though. But yeah, you obviously get together and get stuff done because you got a show coming up end of August at House of Targ, which is pretty exciting. Is this your premiere show? Is this your first show as Wet for Days?
It is.
Oh, yeah. How do you feel about that?
It's pretty exciting. I personally have a big soft spot for House of Targ. That is where I met my husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Aww. When is your anniversary? Can I ask?
The next day. Literally the next day.
Really?
September 1st. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Oh, you can celebrate.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. It is our debut show. We're super excited. We've worked really hard at, you know, working hard at getting our songs down. And at one point recently, like Deirdre said, like at one point we all got COVID and we just missed so many jams. But you know what? It all worked out in the end, and we got this offer, and it's amazing. So we're playing with the Rattlescence, which are an original adolescence band with members of the Adolescence, which were like an old hardcore band from the 80s. So it's pretty exciting to be playing with like original members of the, you know, early hardcore punk rock scene.
Yep.
At the House of Targ on August 31st. It's an early show, so we're on early at 7:30 because it's a Wednesday. So we're hoping that people can make it there and to catch our set. And we're also playing with another hardcore band from Quebec called Destructive, mm-hmm. and a band from Cyprus, which is an island off the Mediterranean Sea called, sorry if I pronounce this wrong, but the Hadj. The Hadj?
Sorry, Hadj.
They're like a psychedelic punk rock band, and they're a two-piece. So we're breaking it down even more, just guitar and drums. So I'm pretty excited to catch the other bands. It's gonna be a fun night.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely gonna check that out. I'm very excited to see you guys play, and
it's gonna be good. We've been working really hard, and I think we're like confident about our set, and just like every time we practice I even get goosebumps in certain moments because like we really like brought ourselves to this point of like, yeah, you know, like the energy is great. So come out, it'll be worth it.
That's the best part of being in the band, is when things fall together and then you have a show coming up and you kind of look forward to it and you have the nervous energy. It doesn't matter if it's your first show or your 100th show, it's always the same. And then it's like the day comes and you wake up in the morning and you're like, it's gig day, and you're just kind of buzzing all day. It's the best. I love it.
This has been like 3 years in the making too. Like, we've been working on this, like, it's been so slow because of COVID, so finally, like, all that at work, like, it's for this 30-minute set, but it's worth it, you know.
And I think because of COVID, a lot of bands, like, we haven't played a show in a long time either, right? So it's not only like the debut show, but like, I haven't played a show personally since I was with you and Goat, and I think it was at Avant Garde. Mm. And I think it was a long time ago. It was, must have been like 2019 or something.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So, well, the last show you played with. Oh yeah, that was a long time ago.
So, I mean, we're going like 3 to 4 years, 2018, 2019 I played. So it's been like almost, yeah, 3 or 4 years since I've played a show. So I'm so excited to just to feel that energy, you know, and that adrenaline.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited for you guys. As far as the songwriting goes, do you guys all write, or is it, do you guys play cover songs, or what's the deal?
Oh, Sarah writes. Well, she's our mastermind for lyrics.
Sarah's a tremendous punk rock songwriter. I've been witness to it. So is Deirdre, I'm sure. Sure, you guess you all have, yeah.
Yeah, well, we all write. We all definitely are contributing, for sure. It wouldn't be like Wet for Days without any of us, you mm-hmm, know. Mm-hmm. But I do.
So modest of you. You.
Yeah.
I write the drums. No, she gives me like some pointers. Like, I'd like this sound here, but at the end of the day, like, drums is, it's all me. But in terms of the lyrics and the guitar and the solo and the just rocking, kicking ass, and taking names.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I come up with some riffs, and I kind of show up with some stuff and lyrics, and, you know, I kind of have like a base that I bring to the table, and then we get input from everyone, and I love like kind of how collaborative we all work together, and, you know,
yep.
You know, everyone's been contributing lyrics for songs, and we all work together to kind of figure out how to piece the songs together like a puzzle, and But some of the songs I'm pulling too, just kind of from all over the place, like a couple songs I wrote a couple years ago, and some riffs are new, some are old, but they all have my distinct Sarah sound. Like, I sound like it's stuff that I wrote from like kind of like Rah Rah Riot, but a little bit more new.
Yeah.
You know, that makes sense.
Evolved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wicked. That's good. Modest. That's cool, man. But you know what I mean? I understand how it works. It's like someone's got to bring something and then you build off of it, right? And then the song is done. That's how I did it. That's how we did it with Goat, too. Like, but people would ask me, so who writes your songs? I said, I fucking write everything. No. Be modest. No, I don't think so. I write everything. I write fucking everything. But no, I would bring... That's what I'd say, but I didn't. I would bring like a structure. I'd sit at home and write a song, and I'd bring just the bones to band, and I'd play it for the members or the dudes, and we would just build off of that, off the skeleton. We put the meat on the bone, if you will. And if you got people that, you guys have been together for 3 years, you know what I mean, it must be becoming like, you know what you're doing now, right? Where it's just like you're developing kind of a style and a sound, you know, because
Yeah. The first year is a bit of a write-off. Like, I think the first year of our band forming, we jammed maybe like two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
Then COVID hit and it was locked down for a while. So
it really hasn't been until this year that we've actually had consistent jams, you know? So it's so strange to think that the band is, it was like 3 years ago when I made that post on Facebook, but it really started to just kind of form this year, like our true sound.
Cool. Did you, have you guys recorded anything?
Not yet. We had plans to a few weeks ago, and then COVID slashed that, but hopefully getting back into the studio in the fall. At Hillside, we did a photo shoot there I feel like it was almost 2 years ago now. Was it last year? I don't even know. It's like all a blur when that was, but.
Yeah, Hillside. Goat did a live video there once.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We never released it, though, because I'm a stickler. They were amazing, though. Cameron was awesome. Great studio, great guy, awesome, you know, experience. I just was a stickler for shit, so I didn't release it.
So we don't have any official recordings yet of the band, but we do have some just kind of rough jam cuts up on our Bandcamp that you can check out. So we'll give you the link for that, Mike. And, you know, if people want to listen, it's there, and hopefully we'll have some better stuff up soon.
Any links you guys want to leave at the end, I'll attach them to the actual post when I post the show, the podcast, the episode. So they'll all be up there. So anyway.
Yes, thank you.
Fan questions. We got some fan questions hot off the press, came in. Would you like to answer them?
Let's do it. Out of our like hundreds of fans.
Yeah, we have a
probably like one question.
We have a message from Mark. He wants to know how many days.
Currently 2 in Ottawa. It hasn't stopped raining since yesterday. Everything is very, very wet.
I guess that's what that means. Eh? How many days have I wet for days? Okay, anyway.
Surprisingly, that's not the first time someone's asked that. So we've had a couple of people post that to our fan page and ask how many days.
It has to be a minimum of 2.
2.
Right.
It can be as many as your imagination lets you go.
Because if it was not 2, it'd be wet for day.
Wet for day.
Wet for a day.
Wet for day.
It sounds like womp womp womp.
Womp womp. All right. Stacy Forrester wants to know, I guess we can go around the table here. Who are your biggest musical influences? Let's start with, Deirdre.
For me, I'd have to say, so I grew up with Irish music being played in my home. So that's like traditional Irish music. I lived in Vancouver, and it was played in my house. My dad plays, and for me that was a huge constant. So my taste in music and the bands that were, you know, my favorite when I first started playing has always changed, but the constant was and still is the Irish music. And it also taught me to play my drums at such a young age. So I had the music around me. I learned to play on the Irish drums. It's a Bowron. It's very similar to the indigenous drums of North America, just a round drum with the skin on it. And that gave me the basis to learn to play all the genres. That's what made me good at what I do. Super young with that Irish music, and it just transfers into everything. You wouldn't think that the Irish music would transfer into punk rock, but once you know how to play, it just takes you there.
Cool.
So that's huge for me.
That's good. On each explanation of your answers, or on each of your answers, I'll leave you to leave to the next person with this one question. What was the last thing you listened to today?
Ooh, me?
Yeah.
All right, so I am currently into, I don't remember, so it's not punk rock. I am into this guy called Sun Little. And the last song was Oh Me Oh My. So I listen to, I'm getting a lot of current inspiration from, there's a show on CBC called The Block.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really great show. And that's where I learn about a lot of artists that I'm kind of inspired by and listening to right now.
Cool. Steph, influences and I guess current favorites. How's that? New category.
I have so many influences, but I guess bass-wise, and the reason I picked up bass would be Victor Wooten. I saw him when I was like 15, my brother took me to a concert and I was like, you can do that with the bass. Like, I want to play bass. And then it just kind of stemmed from there. And I still am so inspired by him. And there's a couple of women who are like huge inspirations to me now. Laura Lee in the band Krungbin. She's like an incredible female bass player who just owns it on stage. She wears like these amazing outfits each show. And I just like, even the last time I played a show, like I was thinking about her while I was playing, because she just like, I don't know, she just inspires me so much. And this other woman named Kanika Moore from a band called Doom Flamingo. I highly recommend checking them out. I saw her and that band play in New York City just before the pandemic. And I was just like totally blown away. She's so powerful, so empowering, just like owns herself on stage as well. So I just kind of like look at these women as huge inspirations to kind of, as I'm coming into my own as an artist as well. Yeah, and then the last thing I listened to today was actually a track that I sent to Sarah and Didi that another friend sent to me, this band from Atlanta called Dirty Holly, and the song was called Give 'Em Hell. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of cool. Another all-female punk band, so yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sarah Destruction?
Sarah Destruction.
Are you still Sarah Destruction? Are you still Sarah Destruction? Aww. That's a bummer.
I know, right? It seems like such an easy question, but it's actually such a hard question, right? Because I think like my influences like span like the whole map of genre, like every genre. But like really, if I like break it down, like I think I just kind of go for that really kind of like fast skate punk kind of guitar, just like really fast rhythm guitar. Like I listen to, you know, lots of NOFX and Screeching Weasel and Bad Religion, kind of like what kind of got me into guitar originally. Mm-hmm. But I really do love that like 70s, like New York punk sound. So I like the New York Dolls and, you know, Iggy Pop and the Damned and the Buzzcocks. They're not from New York, but just like that kind of that old 70s or like early punk rock sound. I am a huge fan of, you know, the Riot Girl movement, Bikini Kill, Kathleen Hanna, you know, kind of really, really moved by that whole scene as well. So funny. A lot of people used to see me play guitar and they used to immediately think that the Distillers were like my biggest musical influence. But, you know, I listened to them, but they weren't kind of what got me hooked on music.
I had someone tell me that we sounded like them. And I was like,
yeah, I don't know. We get that a lot. Like,
yeah.
But, you know, hey, like, she's awesome. Brody Dalle is amazing. Like, I really liked the Spinneret album. Like, I really liked it when she kind of went that whole, like, electronic route. I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, most recently, like, my most recent influences are kind of, like, the lo-fi kind of punk sounds. So, like, I've been listening to, like, King Tuff and, you know, The Coat Hangers are a cool three-piece female band that I got into recently, which are really awesome. But today, the last song that I have on my Spotify is The Interrupters, which are like a ska punk band with a female singer. And they're so much fun. And it's Nicola, my son, it's his favorite band. So he's always asking me to play them. And they're just like a fun ska punk band. Mm-hmm. Now he's like,
super fun. I've been listening to them since you sent them to us. It's like they're really fun.
Really fun band.
Mm-hmm. My son actually asked for Oh Me Oh My today. He didn't know the name of the song. I just played him Sun Little, and Oh Me Oh My is in the lyrics. So he's like, Mommy, can you please play Oh Me Oh My? I was very happy when he asked for that.
It's so fun, right? When your kids start to like really feed off the music and they get to that age and they just really understand. And
yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Well, a lot of good stuff you guys named, and yeah, influences are huge. And who knows, you could like classical music, and for some reason you just play punk rock because it's the most fun to play, right? So
that's where I'm at.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Where I'm at, man.
Same here.
Classical, but I love it all. Yeah,
my favorite song of all time, if anyone knows me, is Billy Idol. Dancing with Myself. I think it's the greatest pop song ever written. I can't play that song, even though it's easy, but all I play is punk rock because it's fun. So What are you going to do? Yeah, oh, like, and Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen is a close number two.
Yeah, I feel like Pixies are probably like one of my favorite bands, you know, but they're like not, you know, fast punk. They have some songs that are punk, but like I pick up the guitar, I play what I play, and this is what is in me.
Yeah, know? I'm all about melody. As long as I don't listen to, like, I always hear the music second. I hear the words and the melody first. The hook, if that's still a thing. Just something that'll grab you. You know what I mean? That's if I can dance to it. No, maybe.
That's okay. One of my favorite parts of drumming.
Yeah.
When you see people move.
Well, bass and drums are what it's all about, right? Guitars and vocals and stuff like that just come afterwards. If your bass and drums suck, your band sucks. It's just the way it is.
You gotta hold everybody together.
It's true. Yeah. You know, your bass player might even get a pass on that. If your guitar player and your bass player are good, but your drummer sucks, then your band probably sucks. So.
You gotta be like a really good carpet.
Yeah.
We'll just tie the room together.
It's true. It's totally true. Do you have any other links that you would like to share?
You can find us on Facebook, mm-hmm. Wet for Days. You can find us on Instagram, Wet for Days. You can find us on Bandcamp, Wet for Days.
Yeah, you should keep up with that, people, because it's good. I'm sure they post information so you can see what the band's doing and where they're playing, and you know that they're playing at House of Targ at the end of August. What's the date again?
August 31st.
August 31st. Wednesday, August 31st at House of Targ. So that's going to be pretty fun. So is there a way to get tickets? Do you buy tickets? Do you order them online? What's up?
The tickets for the show for August 31st are strictly sold online. So, I mean, they're sold online. I'm sure there may be some at the door, but I do, you know, it might end up selling out because, you know, the Adolescents are a pretty big band. Yeah, you can check out the link. We'll send you the link if anyone wants to go on the Eventbrite page to buy the tickets.
Or the House of Targ website, too. You can find it there as well.
Well, if people are listening to this, they figured out how to use the internet. So they're one step ahead. Good for them. All right. Thank you so much for being on Wet for Days. Sarah, Steph, and Deirdre, it's been amazing.
Nicola will say the final word.
Pardon?
Nicola's going to say the final word.
Okay.
No.
What do you want to say?
I don't want to say anything.
Okay.
That's the final word. I don't want to say anything.
I want to say this one is going to trampoline.
He wants to go on the trampoline. So everyone go jump on that trampoline.
Don't we all? All right, thank you so much, and have a great show. I'll be there. I'll be cheering you on, and in the meantime, take care of yourselves, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, bye. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
It's an emergency. Call the police. You left me and abandoned the lease. I don't know why you're gone. I walk these floors like a country song. Oh, where you been? I called all your friends. They were hush hush on what's happening. I called your mama too, and she never could get through to you. I don't care if you love me, don't care if you don't. The panic attack, the pendulum has swung. Now I don't need you, don't need anyone. No, ring, 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 it's a terrible thing. Suffering, you won't stop calling. You're begging and you plead, but
but it's too late for apologies. I don't care if you love me, don't care if you don't. I don't really care anymore.
All right, so that wraps up yet another edition, episode, if you will, of Ego and Vice podcast. Sorry I was gone for a while, but, you know, shit happens. Life happens. But I should be back on a regular basis, but if I'm not, you know, I'll always be around. If you want to be on the podcast, you can always reach out to me at egoandvice@gmail.com. To listen to the podcast, you can go to Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Deezer, anywhere you find your favorite podcasts, I will be there. Just search Ego and Vice Podcast. I'm the only one, and that motherfucker is trademarked, so you can't rip me off. Right on. I'd like to thank Wet for Days, Sarah, Steph, and Deirdre for coming on, and like they said, go check them out at House of Targ on August 31st. Should be a great show. That's it for me. Yeah, I got some guests lined up, so stay tuned and we'll get after it. All right, take care. Talk to you later.
You got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.